Well, folks, I'd like to ask you to continue to pray as we go through the rest of our service this morning, that God will lead us by His Spirit, and that He will give liberty for the preaching of His Word. You know, you've come to hear His Word, and I'm just an instrument up here, folks. I have no value. I have nothing that I can add to it. If you hear my words, then you've done nothing but waste your time. You are here to hear the word from the Bible, to hear God's word. And I pray that that will be the case this day. Today, I am continuing on. You know, I never really considered that we would have so many portions to the 23rd Psalm. This is the seventh message from the 23rd Psalm, but the more I read it, the more it means to me, and the more I find in it. Last week, we were on Zoom, and we went over verse 5. But as I have been doing, I want to read the psalm in its entirety, and then we'll touch on a few things from last week, and then move forward. Psalm 23, and depending on your Bible, it will also have by that caption a Psalm of David, the Lord, the shepherd of His people. And that's been our theme, the Lord is my shepherd. And folks, as we read this, I will say that David is writing this from a personal perspective, but it applies to all of God's children. You know, and there are so many parallels with this, with the Lord Jesus Christ as our good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful, beautiful expression that David has written here in the 23rd Psalm. I wish something like that could pour out of my heart so eloquently. And I know that there are other people who can do those things. I am so thankful for this psalm. It's the most, I think it's the favorite song for most people. It's one of the most widely quoted verses in the Bible, this 23rd Psalm. Last week, we were in verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now, we talked about the table last week, and I'm not going to go over all that again, but just to recap, David, I think here, there's a little bit of a separation, I should say, when we come to verse 5. Because I believe, it's my belief, that David is a little bit older. He's already king when he wrote the 23rd Psalm. I think there's so much that's described here, it can only have come from the experiences in his life. And he's reflecting back, but I believe he's also looking forward as he writes this psalm. But the table is a description that is used by shepherds to describe the high plateaus, the table lands. We've sing about that in some of our songs, the table lands. And one of the thoughts and discernments of you prepare a table before me was that God prepared these high plateaus and these tables for the sheep, for David. But then it was also written from the perspective on a personal basis, I think, from being a king. And David said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Both perspectives apply because those tabled lands were wanted by all the nations that surrounded Israel. But it was given to David and Israel as the sheep of God's pasture. But David also sat down at a table amongst his enemies. He had enemies in his courts. He also had enemies surrounding him. And yet in full view of all his enemies, God's blessings were poured out upon David. And he said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And folks, you should take heart in this too. Because God has blessed us so visibly in front of the whole world. And as God's believers. You see, God is standing there beside David, I believe, to protect him. as he does with us. And folks, we should wear our, to I guess use a secular term, we should wear our blessings on our sleeves. We should not hide our blessings. We should be quick to celebrate our faith in front of other people, to pray at restaurant tables, to work to tell somebody, hope you have a blessed day. Just through some expression on a daily basis, let your faith be known to others and not hide it. David was blessed in front of his enemies. And folks, when I say enemies, I am telling you that includes Satan too. And for a child of God, I believe it makes Satan angry, but there's not one thing he can do about it. We are God's people, the sheep of his pasture. Now, I want to focus now on the second part of verse 5. If we read that again, the second part, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now, folks, you know, one of the daunting things about trying to be your pastor is that most of you have read your Bible probably more times than I have, and you know these verses better than I do, and it's kind of like I'm preaching to a higher educated audience than I am. But nevertheless, Lord willing, if the Lord leads us, there's things that we can discern from these passages. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. In my view, both of these perspectives, from the perspective of David as he looks back on his life and as he reviews the blessings in his life when he was a shepherd, this has application to this verse, as well as from the perspective of being a king sitting at the table. Because David said, you anoint my head. And he says this in conjunction with while being at the table. Both the high plateaus and the tableland for the sheep, and also, I think, from the perspective of being a king. Because all these memories, all these experiences relate. And David is applying this. He's continuing to describe God as the shepherd who leads him on a daily basis. And I pray that you feel the same, that through every aspect of your life, God is leading you. But then I think that's the first perspective, and that's the first one we'll go through. But the second one, I believe he is describing this from his view as an honored guest who has been invited to sit at the Lord's table. So keep that in mind as we go forth. But also I want you to recognize, as through every verse in this passage, in the 23rd Psalm, God is in control. And David is constantly referring to God. He's saying, you God, you prepared the table before my enemies. You, God, you anoint my head with oil. And I also want you to understand, too, that it is God who chooses. It is God who chooses to invite whomever he will to his table. And we cannot escape and get away from the goodness of God, of his sovereignty, to do as he wills. So now I'll answer a question, in case it crossed your mind. Who is it that the Lord invites to his table? Jesus, I think, answered this question in John chapter 10, verses 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, God is preparing the table lands for his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. He is inviting his children to his table. He chooses his sheep, and folks, his sheep follow him. And that includes me and you. All of God's children, no matter where they are. David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. So now, as we look at this anointing with the oil, and folks, that applies to me and you too. David said, you anoint my head with oil. The Lord anoints our heads too. So let's look at a little deeper as to what this means. First, from a shepherd's perspective, how would a shepherd view this anointing with oil? Well, some of the things I've been referencing as we go through the 23rd Psalm is taken from the book written by Philip Keller. And just to reemphasize again who he was, he is a pastor, but he also was a shepherd. He raised sheep for, I believe, 10 years. He was an active shepherd. He knows intimately what is involved in being a shepherd. And he did so over in parts of Africa and in the Middle East. He raised them just like they did back when David was a shepherd. So he knew what were the demands and requirements of being a shepherd. And so I'm going to take up from a little passage in Phil Keller's book when it comes to the tablelands and anointing the sheep's head with oil. Here he says, "Now it would appear that the sheep are in a sublime setting on the high meadows, where there are clear running springs, where the forage is fresh and tender, where there is an intimate close contact with a shepherd." And if you recall from that Zoom message, all the preparation that went into that tableland that the shepherd needed to do to prepare it for the sheep. A lot of preparation went into that. And now that preparation has been done and the sheep are in this high tabled plateau, the high meadowlands where the grass is green and fresh and nutritious. And as he said, you would think it would be a sublime setting. Sometimes we find ourselves in these high plateaus where it would just be perfect. I made the reference that there's not a thing Satan can do about the blessings that we have from God. But it does make him angry, and he does hurl his fiery darts at us. Philip Keller says here, "Suddenly we find a fly in the ointment." In the terminology of a sheepman, summertime is fly time. Only those who have kept livestock or studied wildlife habits are aware of the serious problems for animals presented by insects in the summer. Anybody who's been around cows know that you have to do things to protect them from the flies. Same with sheep, same with any type of livestock. And that's what he's referring to is these flies and the problems that come with it. Sheep are especially troubled by the nose fly or nasal fly, as it sometimes is called. These little flies buzz about the sheep's head, attempting to deposit their eggs on the damp membranes of the sheep's nose. If they are successful, the eggs will hatch in a few days and form small, slender larvae. They work their way into the nasal passages of the sheep's head, and they burrow into the flesh and set up an intense irritation and severe inflammation for the sheep. You see, it's a serious problem. For relief, the sheep will deliberately beat their heads against trees and rocks and posts or brush. They will rub them in the soil and thrash around against woody growth, and sometimes in extreme intense infestation, a sheep will even kill itself trying to find relief from these worms. Because of all this, when the nose flies hover around the flock, some of the sheep become frantic with fear and panic in all their attempt to escape the tormentors. They will stamp their feet erratically and race from place to place in pastures trying to elude the flies. Some may run so much that they will drop from sheer exhaustion. Others may toss their heads up and down for hours on end. You see, Philip Keller is familiar with all this. He's seen this firsthand. The shepherds in David's day, David himself knew this too. You see, even in the high plateaus, sometimes there are things that come into our lives that cause us great anxieties and great distress and great problems. Perhaps you've heard it. Satan is sometimes referred to as Lord of the Flies because of the way he assaults and attacks God's children. You see, these flies they have to be dealt with, or else they will cause all the problems that David Keller just listed. He goes on to say that only the strictest attention to the behavior of the sheep by the shepherd can forestall the difficulties of fly time. You see, the shepherds have to attend to the needs of the sheep. And folks, I hope you're thinking already how God attends to our needs too. At the very first sign of flies, the shepherd will apply oil to their heads. It gives a little clearer reasons why David says, "You anoint my head with oil." Because as we consider ourselves as the sheep of his pasture, you see, the God is doing what is needed for the benefit of the sheep. What's in the best interest of the sheep. Once the oil has been applied, there's an immediate change in behavior. The sheep will start to feed quietly again and soon lie down in peaceful contentment because God anoints our head with oil. Because the shepherd, out of its intimate care for the sheep, anoints the sheep's head. So you think about all the preparation and all the effort that's needed to look after the sheep, to anoint those sheep's head with oil. They do so because they care for the sheep, because the sheep and the shepherd have a bond that is formed. But sometimes, summertime is also called scab time. Scab is a highly contagious disease among sheep all over the world, caused by microscopic parasites that proliferate in warm weather. Scab spread throughout the flock from direct contact between infected and non-infected sheep. Sheep love to rub their heads in affection and in a friendly manner. When two sheep rub together, the infection spreads rapidly from one to the other. Even in the high plateaus where the sheep are so blessed, these problems exist. He goes on to say in the Old Testament, when it was declared that the sacrificial lamb should be without blemish, one of the things and blemishes that the writer is referring to is not to have infections from scab, because no blemish on the sheep. It had to be perfect. And scabs would cause these areas where the wool would fall out and there would be oozing from the sores because of these parasites. Again, as with flies, the only effective antidote is to apply oil and other materials that can control this disease. In many sheep-rearing countries, dips are built and the entire flock is put through the dip. Now, in raising cows, sometimes they'll have what's called this fly rope, where you saturate it with diesel fuel and other chemicals that the cows walk under, and the strips brush the back of the cows, and it helps to kill the flies and the eggs. But a dip is different. See, when there's a dip, the entire animal is dipped. It says, in sheep-rearing countries, dips are built, and the entire flock is put through the dip. Each animal is completely submerged in the solution until its entire body is soaked. The most difficult part to do is the head. The head has to be plunged under repeatedly to ensure that the scabs there will be controlled. Some shepherds take great care to treat the head by hand, by repeatedly dunking the head under the surface of this oil solution. You see, it's a hands-on approach that's taking place. There's two things from this kind of lengthy dissertation that I'm reading. Two perspectives that should be coming out as we apply ourselves. As we read in Isaiah, we are the sheep of his pasture, as David has declared in other psalms as well. Number one, the vulnerability. Aren't we all vulnerable to disease, to uncertainties in our life, to the deceptions of Satan? We are all vulnerable. But the other thing that needs to be, I hope you can take from this, is the personal attention that the shepherd gives to each sheep. Jesus described himself as the good shepherd. He knows us individually, folks. He knows me, he knows you, he knows everything about us, and he knows what our needs are. And he has provided for his needs. He says in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. If the shepherd builds such an intimate relationship with the sheep, he anoints his head with oil because it's what the sheep needs. David, I believe, is referring to the Lord is my shepherd. And in the very first verse, he says, I shall not want. As you look back, I've made this comment a couple times. Each verse builds on the previous verse. God is providing for every need that David had. God provides for every need that we have too. Sometimes, folks, we get distracted. And like a sheep looking at the ground, not watching where it's going, we don't always recognize how the Lord is leading us. But he is, when the Lord is our shepherd. I've asked this question multiple times too. Who do you follow? Are you like the sheep that runs off and finds itself in trouble and then is cast on its side or on its back and the Lord has to go find? Yes, at some points in our life we have been that sheep. But are you trying your best to follow the Lord? You see, the Lord is my shepherd, David says, and I lack nothing. Because David, I believe, is looking back over his life, even the times when he was a shepherd, and seeing all the things that God did for him. All the ways that he protected David and led David. And folks, it is true for me and you. And I hope that can come out as you make this analogy from the perspective of a shepherd, as Philip Keller wrote this. And I believe as David was referring to this too, but it has many applications. So there's some parallels here. I believe David is describing, and people at that time when this was written would have understood it to a greater degree than we do, how God has provided for all his needs and how he provides and cares for us as individual sheep. So there's a parallel that I want you to take as you think about the anointing of the sheep's head. Because the head and the nose, that's where all the problems came from these pesky flies. You see, they weren't just irritants like gnats in South Georgia. They caused real problems. These flies did. It could kill the sheep. And it caused stress for the sheep. And it caused them to panic and act erratically. Well, folks, sometimes life has a way of getting very difficult for us too. So here's a parallel. When the stress and trials of life overwhelm us, sometimes they do. When the lies from other people berate us, tear us down, criticize us, cause us emotional stress, and demoralize us. And when the enemy seems to be all around us, be it through the presence of other people, or just feeling like Satan is after you, like a swarm and horde of flies. Folks, we have protection too. And we find that protection in Ephesians chapter 6. We're here. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You see, Satan will attack us in any way he can. But we have protection. We have this armor of God, this metaphoric armor that he's talking about. But in particularly, in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Folks, that helmet of salvation, when we think about salvation, where does it come from? It comes from God. When we start focusing on God, you see, it takes us off of the focus of this world and back to God's Word. And when we use God's Word, we confront Satan, and the Bible is very explicit. When if you confront Satan, he will flee from you when you do it through God's Word. So we have our heads anointed through the spirit, in the spiritual sense of God's Word. Just as the oil protects the sheep's head, God's Word will protect us and enable us. When we immerse ourselves in it, just as if you are dunking your head under this oil solution, or as if the shepherd is anointing your head, God's Word will protect us. And to use a modern day term, all the disinformation, though I don't like that term, all the lies that we constantly fight against. We must never forget God's promises that we find in the Bible and what Jesus has told us. Because, folks, we are surrounded by, let's call them flies, and all the things that come with that. Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and we not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Okay, if we are the sheep of his pasture, and if a shepherd can do all these marvelous things for his sheep, how much more can God do for us who created us? You won't hear that outside of church much anymore. God created us. And it's a lie that it's something that is attacked daily by lies. As God's children, we need to be defending it because we know it's a lie. God knows you. Each one of you sitting here today, God knows you. He knows you individually. He created you, and he has provided for you. So if you take that to heart, as David said, "You are my shepherd." And when David makes that acclamation, he is saying, "God, you own me, because the shepherd owns the sheep. And I will say, you were bought with a heavy price." God owns us. We are his children. So if we are God's children, then we need to remember what Jesus said. John 10, I'm going back there again. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So when you have all the stress in your life coming at you, and you're surrounded by, you might even say, the enemy, no matter where you may be. Sometimes school will pull you into an environment where you feel like you're surrounded by the enemy. Work can certainly do that. All the social media content can do that. We need to remember these promises of God that says differently. We are the sheep of His pasture, and Jesus is our good shepherd. In Romans 8:1, we find this. You see, when the lies start really crumbling on you, when they just wash all over you, and sometimes you feel like that you even doubt your own self-worth. Romans 8, chapter 1, or verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, there is no condemnation from God for His children because of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we stumble and we don't always walk by the Spirit. But God is faithful to find us when we go astray. And I hope this next verse will give you hope. Because sometimes it gets so confusing. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. How many times have I made this comment, and I believe Brother Pat as well, the gift of faith comes from the Lord. He only gives it to His children. You are a child of God. God cares for you. Never believe any other lie, because you are one of His precious little lambs. The Lord loves us. So folks, we have the gift of faith to resist, let's just call it, all these flies that are swarming around us, when we are following our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's from the perspective of the shepherd. Now, from the perspective as a guest at the table of the Lord. You anoint my head with oil. And David says, you do this in the presence of my enemies while I'm sitting at your table. I don't know if you can envision that or not. For me, that comes pretty easy. I see David sitting at a table. And yes, I see people from his court, and I see other people that are envious and wanted his position, who didn't like him. And sometimes when there was a coronation for a king, even surrounding tribes, let's call them tribes from that day, or other nations might be present too, people that didn't have his best interests. Yet God has blessed David, again, openly, in the presence of his enemies. Now, just for a little bit more background, it was a custom to show hospitality and respect to an esteemed dinner guest in those days, a dinner guest that had been invited. And I'll just throw in there again, it is God who would bring the person to the table. But it was a custom to whoever the invitee was, at that time, to anoint their head with oil. The oil was a mixture of fragrant perfumes to refresh and soothe the weary traveler, because most people back then, when you think about it from just a physical perspective, they would have walked to got there, or they would have ridden possibly some type of a mule or an animal. When the traveler got there, in the hygiene of the day, folks, they didn't smell the best either. So anointing a person's head with oil was a custom to overcome that. That was really almost a necessity. If you're surrounded with a bunch of people eating, you know, you don't want to be sitting beside somebody who smells bad. But the oil would be refreshing. Let's call this aromatherapy. Essential oils. How does that make you feel? You know, there's truth to these essential oils. They can make you feel better. Certain fragrances, certain scents are uplifting. They brighten your mood. So that was the custom of the time. Now, maybe it's running through your head, this is in stark contrast to the Pharisee who invited Jesus to his house for supper, but did not give him water to wash his feet or anoint his head with oil. And that's a different story that we'd go into. But that Pharisee didn't honor Jesus, didn't esteem him as an honored guest. But I believe David does feel like he's an honored guest. He's been invited to God's table. He regarded himself as an honored guest because he says, "You anoint my head with oil." And folks, David here now is, I think, transitioning into the next verse that will come. He's saying, "I am at the Lord's table, and he's going to dine there forever." And folks, that's true for me and you. Because David was anointed with oil too. Now let's go back to that anointing with oil. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. See, when David was young, his brothers didn't really care for him. You know, the bigger the family members, sometimes you don't like one of your family members. That's bad to say, but sometimes it happens. And at that time, especially David being the youngest, there was resentment from the older brothers because David was being honored. It was David who killed Goliath. And David is being honored. He's being anointed with oil. And it says, with that anointing, the Spirit of God rested upon him from that day forward. All his days. You see, David went, if you think back respectively, David went through some dark valleys here. And then he's up in the high plateaus. And he's talking about the tables. He's looking back over his life, but he's looking forward. He has been invited to God's table. He recognizes all the blessings God has given him. And folks, we should too. And he will dine with the Lord forever. You see, the oil, when it says you anoint my head with oil, the oil was also used to commission certain people for a task that God called them to do. It was used to dedicate priests and kings. They were anointed with oil because God had a purpose for them. And folks, we have a purpose too, each and every one of us. In Leviticus, here the anointing oil was made at God's instructions. And Moses, it says here, and he is referring to Moses. And Moses poured the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. Sanctification means to be set aside for a given purpose. Aaron was sanctified and set aside to be the priest. And folks, we are too. We have a purpose. And we are sanctified for a reason. And we are made acceptable through Jesus Christ. How do you know this? You know, so I encourage you, when if you hear something that I bring before you, fact check it. Go to the Bible. If I'm not clear, go to the Bible and try to understand. Find things that validate it. You see, you have been set aside for an intended purpose too. You have been sanctified through Jesus Christ. Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he's glorified. God does all this for a reason, because you're his child. You are the sheep of his pasture. He anoints your head with oil. He anoints us with the Holy Spirit through Christ. We are sealed because God cares for us, just like the shepherd cares. Because he loves us. And folks, we have a purpose. Hebrews 10:10 tells us, "For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time." You see, David said, "I am at the table," and it's for perpetuity, folks. It's forever. Ephesians 1:6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved." That's Jesus Christ. How is our head anointed? How were we made accepted? It's all because of Jesus. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil." We have been anointed, folks, through the blood of Christ. You see, this psalm is for the believers, for all of God's children. And folks, when you really grasp hold of that, and don't allow anything to try to tear it away from you, when you are firm and convicted in your faith and don't doubt it, the flies can buzz around all they want. But our head is protected because it's been anointed by oil. And folks, we need to help those whose faith is a little bit weak and don't always so firmly grasp hold of that realization. There is nothing on earth, no circumstances, no tragedy, no nothing on earth that can separate us from the love of God. David said, "My cup runneth over." Because he recognized how blessed he was. Folks, you know, and this should really be a separate message, but I want to try to bring it into this one. My cup runneth over. What a beautiful imagery that comes to mind. You see, when you filled a cup back in those days, the custom was you, depending on how prosperous you were and how esteemed the guest was, you filled it up a portion, part of the way in the glass. That was kind of a station that they were given. Your glass is only half full. A higher priority or more important person, the glass might have been filled three-quarters way full. And for the most esteemed guest, it was filled to the brim. And David says, "Here, my cup runneth over. God has been so good to me. My cup runneth over." Can you count your blessings, folks? You can't do it. You can never count all your blessings. If we make it home tonight and we see tomorrow, you can never count all the blessings that have been held in just this one day. Just this one day. You see, if you think back through the Psalms, if any of what we've gone over you remember, if you look at all the preparation that's required for the Good Shepherd to properly care and provide for the sheep, it's enormous. We can never fully understand all the preparation that the Lord has made for us or see the provisions that He's given us. We take it for granted. But David saw it, and he recognized that God provided it all. Because in every verse, he's phrased it to where God is in control, and he's acknowledging that God is the author of these blessings. And he recognized that God is providing the blessings that he needs that he could not provide for himself. You see, that's what the shepherd does. The sheep can't provide these blessings for themselves. The sheep can't anoint themselves with oil. Without God's protection, without God's anointing in our life, we fall victim to the lies of Satan too. He is a lord of the flies. He's the lord of everything bad in your life, in my life, and in this entire world. But we are protected from him through Christ Jesus. Some translations, the first verse of Psalm 23 is, "The Lord is my shepherd." Instead of saying, "I shall not want," "I lack nothing" is another translation. And folks, we don't lack anything. My cup runneth over because of the goodness of God. Philippians 4 tells us, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You see, it takes a turn here. It starts talking about what comes next. Ephesians 2, 4 through 8. How rich are we? How greatly does our cup runneth over? Ephesians 2. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses," if you stop right there and think about a sheep, even when a sheep that's gone astray, how that loving shepherd goes and finds a sheep and brings him back home. "Even when we were dead in sin and trespasses, and nothing we could do about it, the blessings were provided to us by God because we couldn't apply them to ourselves, just like that sheep couldn't. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. It is God's wonderful, marvelous grace that does this for us. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Folks, as we try to count our blessings, if you look back on your life, you can never count them. But I can tell you, the greatest blessings, the greatest preparations that the Lord has made for us are still to come. Because Jesus promised those that follow him, his sheep, will never perish. Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, folks, our cups runneth over too. We just have to be focused on our blessings. Next week will be the last series in this sermon on the 23rd Psalm. And I want to focus on that portion because that's where most people relate the 23rd Psalm. It's usually to the death or a loved one who has passed away. And I've been applying this to our daily lives because it has such implications in our daily lives. But, of course, it's spiritual and in our eternal life, too. So pray for me to prepare that message and to do it properly, trying to help reveal these great blessings that we have through Christ. And again, not just here. It's important we recognize them here. But it's more important that we recognize what great things that God has prepared for us. May the Lord add His blessings to these words is my prayer. Folks, please pray for us as we go into conference as well. Brother Mark.